Friday, Wednesday. Coming off of an Avalanche victory last night, they evened up the series. They calmed all of our nerves. And Alexander Georgiev is back in the good graces of Avs faithful. That's what went down with the 5-2 win last night. Now they'll come home for a Friday night game against the Jets at Ball Arena. And then a Sunday afternoon delight game, 12:30, for game number four against these same Jets. And obviously now the Avs dealing with home ice advantage, which is pretty good, Stoke, because, you know, they're the best team on their home ice throughout the NHL this season. So that is a big, big move and a big, big performance from Georgiev last night. He did answer some of his doubters, as Jared Bednar said after the game.
Everyone just goes immediately to doubt and criticism. And so to be able to sort of put that aside, focus on his process just like we would with the team, be mentally strong, resilient, and then go out and prove people wrong in game two, that's a tough job to do, because you are the last line of defense. You are who are every 50% of the questions I've had over the last 3 days through three media availabilities are going to be about Gorgie.
Yeah, I mean, has he watched him play the last 2-3 weeks? I mean, yeah, we doubted him, of course. I mean, who wouldn't in those situations, right? He's been bad. He's been really bad in some games. So I think we have every right to question him and to doubt him. And it's his job to go out there and respond and either step up and get the job done and stay in net or not. So I think it's all been fair. It hasn't been unwarranted. And last night he did enough to earn another one. Next game.
That's right.
But this isn't a lifetime or a season-long playoff contract for him here just because he played good in one playoff game. He's got to keep doing it. And I still think he's on very thin ice here. And but Bednar's saying all the right things. He's saying what he should say. You want to have your guy. You want to try to build him up right now as much as possible, especially when he plays good. That just doesn't change a whole lot for me. It's just one game is all that was.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Alexander Georgiev still gave up 23 goals in four games. That warrants doubters.
Yeah.
And especially when what this Avs team is. And look, I know
what you're doing there when you're counting on your fingers, like you're doing like 7
yeah,
plus
yeah.
4 plus 23. And then you're like, dang it, I'd start over.
You can't see, but my shoes aren't even on because I needed the toes to get to the extra number.
23.
And especially that's what I was going to say about what this team is. It is, and Stoke, I know it hasn't felt this way, but we're in the middle of a beautiful period of Denver sports where every time the NHL season starts for the last two seasons, maybe the last three seasons, and I would say the next three seasons, it's cup or bust. And if you don't get there and you don't win it, the season is a failure and is disappointing. The other side of that, the Ball Arena Bros, the Nuggets is the same thing. You either get to the finals, win the finals, or it is a failure of a season. So when you're a goaltender, when you have that sort of expectation, which we all do, media, fans, the team themselves, because they've said that, have that sort of expectation, yeah, we're doubting when we see what we've seen out of Alexander Georgiev. He has been great, was great last night. I would even use that term, great. But I'm with you. I can't just say I'm fully all in and back on board with Alexander Georgiev helping the Avalanche win the Stanley Cup. It would still feel more of along the lines of, well, the Avalanche won the Stanley Cup despite Alexander Georgiev.
Yeah, just, I mean, when they won it a couple years ago, I mean, it was the same type of thing. I mean, we're the question marks is the goalie situation. And, you don't need the guy to be special. You just need him to be competent. And he was competent last night, and in certain situations, he was really good, only giving up the two goals and gave up one, just a few minutes into the game and then really settled in there. So, and then how do you close games out? He did a great job of that the last period and a half. So I think just don't be super-duper bad. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, just don't give up 7.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up 6. I mean, can we get 3 or 4? I mean, if you do that, the Avs will have a chance night in and night out. So I think that's the biggest thing here for Georgie. Just don't have a complete meltdown here and offensively, especially when you see the other lines doing what they're doing and you're seeing what like Bednar's, you know, he's moving Val up and down and doing, working with different lineups and different guys. And, man, they're responding in a big way. They really are. And it's been fun to watch. I know they didn't win the first game there. They lost 7-6. But offensively, they're attacking. And they're really close to, you know, I mean, going on a run here offensively to where just be competent at the goalie position.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Avalanche fans, tell us how you feel. You back to being 100% confident? You still a little bit nervous about what this could be and what it is moving forward? Alexander Georgiev talked about how much his teammates having his back helped him bounce back.
They've shown so much support to me over the last couple of days. Very rough first game, obviously, and I just felt so much trust in the room from everybody. I appreciate it so much. Helped me reset and know that they got my back. I know I'll help them out as well during this playoff. It was huge from them. Appreciate it.
He didn't sound very confident in that, but that's we talked about it when Bednar wouldn't. You know, he's coming out and saying, what was it, a couple weeks ago? Well, he had some dumb stuff in front of him. That was the 7-0 loss to the Jets the first time.
Yeah.
And then saying, hey, I'm not putting everything on Alexander Georgiev. That's Bednar playing the game so that he can feel that way.
Yeah. And, like, when you don't have a lot of other great options, then what do? You got to try to build your guy up because you know you're going to need him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Bednar was doing a week or two ago. And then his teammates, the same thing. Look, I mean, that's your guy. You know, like, hey, he's probably going to be a net. Not maybe, you know, throughout the playoffs at some point. So it doesn't do any good to beat him up when he's down. I mean, you got to try to build him up and get his confidence going and have his back, et cetera, et cetera. And that seems like what they're doing, and that's what they should do in that situation. So good for them. I mean, what's your level right now with Georgie and your confidence level with the Avs moving forward? How do you feel about them?
So I was, you know, like on a 1 to 10 scale, I was at like a 7 or an 8 worried about the Colorado Avalanche. I think after last night's performance, I'll bring it down to like a 6.
Okay.
How about you?
Yeah, I'm still very nervous.
Me too.
Because it's not just winning the series. I'm talking about winning a cup.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I mean, it's cup or bust. It's, you know, what do they call that trophy in basketball?
The Larry O'Brien.
Yeah, the Larry O. It's Larry O or bust, right?
Yeah.
For the Nuggets, that's just the way it is. So if you talk about cup or bust for the Avs, how am I feeling? I'm still not feeling very good. I'm just not.
I agree.
You know, it's like you're going into a baseball series and your pitching is shaky. Yeah, you got great bats, but dang, I don't know, man. I mean, like, you gotta have some pitching, right? You gotta be able to play some defense. You gotta be able to play some have some consistent goaltending throughout the playoffs to beat some of these really good teams, and I just don't know if they have that. Now, hopefully, George, I mean, we've seen him play at a high level. Hopefully he can get hot, and this offense can kind of stay hot. And if that's the case, then okay, but I'm still very concerned. I mean, my concernometer of them is, you know, probably still at 8.
Okay. That's pretty high.
Yeah, because I'm trying to win a cup.
And I like that it's not about round one.
Right.
It's about finishing in June. And lifting Lord Stanley a mile high, as they did 2 years ago.
And that's where they are. I mean, that's their approach.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, I was on those teams in football, and look, we came up short a lot. But it was win it all or it's not successful season.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's what you want. You know, 2012 sucked, right? Lose to the Ravens. Well, I mean, season was a failure. It's just the way it is.
Yep. You're going to like this text. This text was kind of
Let me determine that.
Well, they're taking a shot at somebody, a stray shot,
oh, okay.
Which you'll like.
Okay.
The text was, I'm reading some of your texts. They're kind of a Debbie Downer, but it's funny here. Georgie plays one good game. Whoop-de-freaking-do. That's like James Merrillat hitting one bet and claiming he knows what he's talking about.
Wow. That's pretty good. You're right.
I knew you'd like the shot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good. And I'm with him. I'm with him to a certain degree there. Yeah. It's just one game. And that's it, really. So it's he's still on thin ice here, and it's game by game with Georgie. So that's all it was last night. It was just one. Like, you've scored us so much, it takes a lot more than one for us to forget about the last few weeks.
That's right. That's right. We kind of overreacted, right? Of course we did. It was a bad loss with seven goals on the board, but Jared Bednar talked about them not overreacting as a team after just one loss.
This isn't a time when you play 82 games all year and you've had success and you've won 50 games, so all of a sudden just change what you do because of one player, right? Like people that say that online or whatever, like, to me, it's not realistic. And we know he can do it. He led the league in wins this year. So that's what we go with.
I like that a lot. Like, yeah. Hey, we're not going to panic. One guy screwed up. One guy had a bad game. We know who we are. We're confident in who we are. And it's almost something that you and I have talked about. McKinnon, Miko, Makar. You got three of the top dogs in the entire world playing on your team on that line. So, yeah, you don't have to change a ton. You continue to stay the course and trust in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what you got to do. Like, you're not going to all of a sudden go through the whole regular season like, oh, we got to scrap this, we got to scrap that. But at the same time, I guarantee you're not just going to keep rolling out Georgie.
Right.
If he's playing like he did the other game, You're not going to do that. So I get it. You're not going to switch and change a whole bunch of stuff because you're just staying the course. This is what we got to do. And if it's not good enough, it's just not good enough, right? That's just it. But the goalie situation would change very quickly if it doesn't get better. And it got better last night, obviously, but it's got to continue to be that. Or, you know, I don't think Bednar will hesitate to replace Georgie with someone else. He can tell me all 50 game winner, blah, 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 blah. But I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all that he's just going to stay the course with Georgie throughout the playoffs if it didn't look like it did last night.
Yeah. We'll know a
little.
Are
you buying it?
No, I'm not buying it. I think if Eustace Onnen is healthy Friday and it gets dicey, I'm yelling. You know what I'm yelling at my TV? Let's get Eustace Onnen in the game.
Well, is he still sick?
We're going to find out today. That's what I was getting ready to tell you. I don't know that I've ever seen this. I don't know. I don't cover all the hockey practices like we do a bunch of other stuff. But the Avs are flying back on a jet to Colorado right now. And I think, in fact, they are about to land at Signature. You know, Signature, the where the teams land? Of course you do. The media is encouraged to go to Signature and interview Jared Bednar.
Really?
Yeah.
At the
terminal.
Do they have to do like some kind of press conference today or something, media availability? And so they're just like, all right,
he doesn't want to go to ball?
Right. Yeah, he probably just wants to get it done and over with. So if you want to do it, it's at, you know, the airport.
Yeah.
So, all right, whatever. I get it. Like, I don't get it. I don't know what's going on with Anand. I told you. Huh?
He's got the flu.
You can't get sick in the playoffs, Josh. Does he? I mean, that's just the rules.
I know.
I don't know.
I actually didn't know that until you told me this week, but now I know.
Right. If he was available in game one, he would have been in the net. And I don't know. He might have been in the net last night if he was available, but he wasn't. And now it's Georgie moving forward if he can continue to play like that.
That's the Signature terminal. They have like those sleeping rooms. Did you guys ever go in there?
Who's you guys?
Your football teams.
No, we didn't fly out of there.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, okay.
We fly big, big planes.
That's
we can't
right.
fly in there, the little airport.
Yeah, I guess the Nuggets only have like 20 guys.
Right.
The Avs have 30 guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I used to work on airplanes at the Signature place, and they'd have like a sleeping room where I'd have to work on a plane at like 5 a.m., so I would just go sleep there for the night, and then they'd wake me up when the plane arrived, like, got here.
Nice.
I'd come and sleep, and it was like, this is actually better than my bed. So I'm going to sleep here regularly.
Just going to keep sleeping here.
Yeah.
Not a bad gig.
Can I come back when I don't work and just sleep here? All right, so we're feeling better, but still not fully over our concerns that comes with the Avalanche. One texter is asking about Matt Davis. They can sign him, but he can't play. He's undrafted, and that's the rules from college to the NHL. If they had drafted him before his college career was over, he could play. But no, not the case for Matt Davis. He cannot play.
I think anxiety and nervousness about Georgie and the goalie situation, it's going to be there all the playoffs.
No matter what?
Yeah. Yeah.
What if he pucks out the next two games?
I'm still nervous about him.
Really?
Yep.
So he can't do anything to fix your nerve?
Nope, not during this playoff run.
Okay.
He just really can't. Now, I guess if he goes and he has like five straight shutouts, yeah, but like, I could also, you know, win the Powerball and not come back here. It's just not going to happen, right? So,
you'd come back for at least a day.
A day and just like, just start throwing hundreds everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, just dropping hundreds.
Yeah.
You know, like breadcrumbs.
You just see me and Kevin following you around.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. So I just don't think there's a situation this year for him to play well enough and consistent enough to for me to forget about what has happened here the last two and a half, 3 weeks. That's kind of where I'm at with him. Hopefully he can just be competent enough and offensively they can do enough, but I just don't think I can get over what I saw here the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. I also was thinking about this last night with us being all nervous Nellies about Alexander Georgiev, but I think they're having these similar kind of conversations in Winnipeg amongst Winnipeg Jet fans of they stink in the first round. That's their bugaboo.
Yeah.
And it has been for I don't even know how long, but you know what I mean? They lose that game last night and it's like, oh, here we go. It's going to start happening again. It's inevitable that we're going to choke in the first round. So there's some pressure on both sides of this from both clubs.
Yeah, absolutely. And guess what? We were there 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We couldn't get out of the second round.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, here we go again. You know, it's going to be another second round loss. That's all we do is we get to the second round and we find a way to screw it up. And then that year we were able to get, you know, take it that step further, obviously, and win it all. So, yeah, they have that. And, yes, that will be the talk today for them is, you know, can they get over the first round and get out of the first round? And especially with a performance like that, when you get up 1-0, then you get up 2-1,
yep,
and you can't close it out and you lose 5-2, certainly there's going to be conversations about that in Winnipeg.
I said when the plane arrove.
Yeah.
I meant arrived.
Obviously. Yeah, sorry, dude. I misspoke so much yesterday. I'm not any position to question anything you say today. No.
You know what? It's very responsible and mature of you.
Yeah.
I got to say.
Peyton called me out yesterday.
That was the best part of the interview.
That might have been my worst interview ever. And I've had some bad ones, folks. But I raised my hand. My wife was calling me out. She was texting me and how bad I was. And it's, hey, look, this is the price I paid. I told you going into you. I told you on Monday.
You did.
Because you're like, I'm feeling a little shaky today. I'm like, I got you today, but tomorrow I need you to cover me because I didn't know how the night was going to end. And I was fine when I got home. It was
the decisions you made after
that. It was decisions after 11:30 to, you know, one something to keep on partying and stuff. I was celebrating the victory, man.
As you should have been.
So I paid the price for that yesterday, and, you know, and that's just the way it went yesterday for me. But it wasn't my best day on the radio.
Yeah. Well, you got full five of those every week, so you know what? You get better.
I'll try to do better the rest of the week.
All right, we appreciate that.
I feel better today. I feel like I'm doing a better job today.
You're doing a better job, yeah.
So I need to redeem myself with Peyton and the terrible interview that I did yesterday.
And he didn't even wait a second to let just go right into your...
Instead of saying scenario, I said... Wait.
Scenery.
How did I screw it up?
You said, can he use a change of scenario?
Right,
instead
of scenery.
Would you mix scenery?
Yeah, that's what I did. Mm-hmm. I mean, they both start with an S, right?
Right.
They got a C in there.
The same version of the word.
Pretty close. I mean, goodness. He could have let it slide, right?
Could have
if he wanted to, but he didn't. And he pounced, like, right away.
All right. Let's turn the conversation here and talk about the Nuggets. I mentioned this to you earlier, and I wanted to get a little bit deeper into it about Jamal. Because, again, hero, great shot. The fact that he scored 6 points in 55 seconds, the fact that he scored 14 in the fourth quarter, that's all outstanding. But, you know, if KCP, if anybody could have made some shots in quarters 1-3, it might not have had to come down to that game-winning shot that was so great and so glorious from Jamal. But Stoke, I'm telling you, after two games here, Jamal Murray is not shooting the basketball well. He's not playing the game well. Now, he's great with the ball. He's going to be a facilitator. He's not going to have too many turnovers. But that's not what you need out of the Blue Arrow. You need that dude to get buckets. You need him to be knocking down jump shots. And you need his two-man game to be great with Nikola Jokic. And it hasn't been. It can be. He can obviously turn it on. We know who he is in the postseason. But they're not going to go to L.A. and steal one or even two. Or I should say two or even one if Jamal isn't better than what he's been in games 1 and 2.
Yeah, I think... I don't know if I totally agree with that statement. I think they could still steal one without Jamal playing at a high level.
You do.
I do, because like this team is really good. That's why. Like KCP can pick up the slack. Aaron Gordon can pick up the slack. right? Michael Porter Jr., obviously, he picked up the slack last game, but he can do that also. So I like their starting five. It's not like it's Jamal and then Jokic and the rest of the guys behind them, right? Those guys are really competent and good players, and so I could see them still being able to win a game because LA's LA. They'll fold so quickly, right? You got to remember who the opponent is. That's also. Right. They might have already tapped out. I mean, those bags might be already packed for the offseason. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, you're right. I mean, he needs to be more consistent. Certainly the end was great, and hopefully that gives him some confidence moving forward. Do I think he needs it? No. Like, he knows he's that guy, and he just had a, you know, couple of off nights shooting, and it's all good. Just hopefully it's just a little bit better.
You know what I actually can appreciate a little bit about Jamal, in these struggles even? He's not like a guy that's going to go chase it. You know what I mean? Like, he's still going to let the game come to him. Anyway, we heard from him and his teammates and Coach Malone about everybody encouraging him to continue to shoot the ball, and he did. He didn't turn it completely off, but he's not. It's not all centered around him finding his groove back. Like, oh, I got to get down and get a shot up. I got to get down, and I'm coming off the high screen and roll with Nikola. I'm going to step back and shoot it because I got to see something go through the net. Like, he's not a guy that will chase it even when he is struggling.
Yeah, I like that. You know, it's funny to me that, he says, hey, they told me to keep shooting, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm like, okay. It's like if Peyton Manning threw an interception, hey, just keep chunking it, man. You know, just keep throwing that thing. Like, yeah. I mean, we like, what else are we going to say? Hey, no, we want you to be very conservative with the football here, Peyton. Be very, very careful. Like, what are you going to tell Jamal? What are you going to tell him? Stop shooting? Yeah.
Layups,
like,
only, bro.
Right. Like, no jump shots at all. I mean, no. Like, so to me, that kind of goes without saying. Like, Jokic just has off night. Hey, just keep firing it up, big fella. Hey, keep being aggressive with it. We got your back. Hey, we had Jamal's back, you know? It's like, all right, give me a break to a certain degree there. We know it. Like, yeah, you're going to keep shooting.
Yeah.
You're a big part of the team. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep shooting, or this team's got no chance to, you know, win at all if you're not an aggressive offensively. So I find that kind of funny. Listen to that. It goes without saying. Like, Jamal, yeah, keep shooting. Well, don't lose your confidence.
I mean, there have been some times where, like, maybe I'm having an off night in my old man rec league up in North Glen.
Right.
And it's definitely not, hey, go ahead and just keep shooting them.
No.
It's more like, hey, maybe you've missed the second half and sit over here.
Is your phone ringing? No, right. Kelsey's trying to get a hold of you. Yeah. She needs you home. Comparing you and Jamal, like, that's
probably not
pretty
fair.
Pretty similar, yeah, right?
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
You're very similar how your teammates view y'all.
Yeah, of course.
Dover, on the bench. How about passing? Pass the ball, Dover.
Yeah, I'm certainly not going to lead the league in assists, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, when you're playing old man, you know, basketball, like, it's all about you.
Yeah.
Like, what is a team? Who cares about the team, right?
Yeah.
You want to get your shots up.
Right. That's exactly right. I'm there to get buckets, Stoke. All right, so that's where we're at with Jamal. We'll obviously give you a bigger preview of that game coming up tomorrow, a little bit later on in the show as well, but they're going to LA.
I think to cut you off, but I just a preview of tomorrow, and I think, like, one of my favorite actions for tomorrow will be Jamal over points.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You couple a little bit off nights, mm-hmm. like, that dude will get right, and it's in L.A. Seems like he always plays well in L.A., so early thought there.
Okay. It's been at, like, 24.5 for Jamal, so you're, like, in the over on that.
Absolutely.
I think you're right about the environment, atmosphere. Maybe they boo him up a bit. You know, get him going.
Yeah, I don't even think he needs that.
Oh, really?
No, I don't think he even needs
that. Okay. Well,
because he's been a couple, you know, subpar games there.
Mm-hmm.
So no extra motivation needed for Jamal.
All right. We're looking forward to it tomorrow night at 8:00. It's game 3 in L.A. Hopefully, the Nuggets are going to do this thing all the way to the championship again. And hopefully, you can be there. It's our fan flyaway back for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. If you go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway, register, claim your special offer from Sport Clips, here's what you could win. 2 tickets to a game, round trip airfare for 2 from Denver to wherever the game may be played, 2 nights hotel, and of course $500 walking around money while you're out there. If you entered into the February fan flyaway, say that 3 times fast. Well, you're already entered in this month's Fan Flyaway, and once you register, you'll be a part of all the future Fan Flyaway contests. So Go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway, register, and claim that special offer from Sport Clips. Coming up next, I want to talk about a list that our buddy Mike Kliss has out there. Nine ideas, nine options for the Broncos at number 12. We'll roll through them and tell you if we like them or hate them next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh. Hangovers and handcuffs. It's been a minute since I had one in my handcuffs.
NFL draft. We know the Broncos have the 12th pick overall. What the heck are they going to do with that pick, Stoke? Need a quarterback for sure. But is it too early to get one of those second tier, third tier, maybe even quarterbacks? Well, that's where I found Mike Kliss's work. Mike Kliss, who will be with us on draft day tomorrow, has an article out about the options that the Broncos are going to have with that 12th pick overall. He's got a handful of options with different positions. And first and foremost, as you can imagine, it's Bo Nix is the best option, the most realistic option, I should say. You can stay put. This is what Kliss says. Stay put at 12 and still get your quarterback, or even better, a trade back scenario pick. For all the draft analyst fatigue Nix has endured the past week or so, he has the greatest chance, according to betting lines, to fall to the second round, but he might be a fit for Sean Payton's offensive scheme. So, Bo's first, JJ is second here, just through the quarterbacks, and then Jaden Daniels, but as we know, and Kliss puts, Jaden Daniels and JJ McCarthy are just on the wish list, and it's probably highly unlikely.
Okay, yeah, it's a lot of back and forth here about, you know, some people are saying Bo Nix would be a perfect fit for Sean Payton and his offense, and then other people are saying that's way too high to draft him. Early second round is where he should be drafted. So certainly you don't have a second round pick. If that's the case, I mean, if you're the Broncos, do you try to move back a little bit and then grab him, you know, say with a 20th pick, 21st pick, right? That's a little bit better than grabbing him with the 12th pick. Mm-hmm. But if you love the guy, you don't want to gamble on him and move back and then someone else takes him. So it's one of those games here where, you know, we've heard a bunch of different things about these quarterbacks and Sean Payton. Oh, they love J.J. McCarthy. I mean, that was the start. They're going to move. They got to move up to go get him. Will they be able to? Don't have a lot of draft assets. And then it's been Bo Nix. Mm-hmm. And so it's happening tomorrow. I can't wait to see how it unfolds and how it plays out from a Broncos perspective. What do the Vikings do with their two first round picks? What do the Raiders do? What do the Giants do? Will the Giants take one of those quarterbacks? So very interesting stuff going on. And there's always a surprise or two. It's like, wow, I can't believe that team took a quarterback. I can't believe that team jumped everyone. We didn't see them taking a quarterback. So there's always a couple of those. I can't wait for it. Here's my question to you, Denver Broncos. What would you think is more likely to happen? Them move up to 5th, 6th, 7th spot, or them move back to 18th, 19th, 20th spot?
Back. Back for me, because it's, again, the capital that we talked about or what it's going to cost. Now, you did mention 7 or whatever. It's what Tennessee 8 with Atlanta right in there.
Yeah, just right around that
cost
spot.
You
yeah.
as much. But I'm just... From my perspective, this is how I feel about the Denver Broncos. I'm not talking for Stoke. I'm not talking for Broncos country. I don't think they're going to be very good this year. And I think there are tons of holes on this thing that you have to plug, you have to address, and you only have 8 draft picks to do it. And then, obviously, you're 7 moving forward in each of the draft years ahead of us. I don't think that they can risk that because how bad this roster is. You're going to go get a young quarterback. Let's say they love J.J. McCarthy, and you future a couple of future first-round picks to go do that. All right, so then now you're going to tell me that you have J.J. McCarthy. He's here. He's under Sean Payton. You're developing him. That's all great, but you don't have a first-round pick that you can go get a tight end for him or a wide receiver for him because the tight ends on this Broncos team aren't very good. The wide receivers on this Broncos team aren't very good right now, so that terrifies me, Stoke, that you reach so far out in front that you're going to hurt that young quarterback moving forward. So I would say trade back. There's a report out yesterday that it's Philly and Pittsburgh making some calls to Denver. They're both trying to land a cornerback with that 12th overall pick. So that would be my play for sure. I don't know that you're adding another first on top of that, but you could certainly get yourself a second.
Yeah, and probably boom, second.
There's where you find your quarterback.
Yeah.
How about you?
I think it's moved back, too. I agree with you there. Is likely or more likely to happen than for them. Let me slow that down a little bit slower than normal. Than for them to move up in the draft. I just think, you know, like you mentioned, the lack of draft capital that you don't have this year makes it a lot more difficult to move up.
Yeah.
And then you have so many positions of need here. If you do move back, now you'll get you'll probably get another second round pick or so. And you can use that to help replenish this roster. So I think it's more likely for the Broncos to move back than to move up.
Broncos country, love to hear your answers on that question too at 303-713-1043. Text line powered by Ramos Law or over on Twitch if you want to answer twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. All right, so we got through the quarterbacks there. Mike Kliss now moves on to a couple defensive players, and Dallas Turner is the next option for the Broncos at 12th overall. A lot of people, and you and I have had this conversation, it's Dallas Turner, it's guys like Jared Verse. They're all sort of, you know, the two of them at least are in the conversation of, all right, that's the best defensive player in the draft. They're going to make an impact immediately. But, Stoke, I cannot stress this enough. Denver picks a defensive player at 12 tomorrow. I am throwing my phone in Chatfield Reservoir. I couldn't deal with that if that were the choice.
Yeah, I think it's offense, offense, offense. You look at Sean Payton. You look at what side of the football he prefers. What coach is he? He's an offensive coach. He's working with his offensive side. He had to deal with everything last year when it's lack of playmakers, lack of a quarterback. I just don't see him drafting a defensive guy early. I just don't at 12. I don't see that happening. So I would be very disappointed also.
Up next, he gets into some more pass rushing help. And some of these, you know, different outside linebackers. He also has the UCLA linebacker, Latu, who's there. I couldn't remember. Is this the guy that had the neck stuff? See, I'm out on that.
Yeah.
We can't have Michael Penix Jr. because he's had a few injuries, but you want to get a guy that had to medically retire with the top pick? That doesn't make any sense to me.
I disagree with you there.
Why?
I mean, once upon a time, we had another guy come in here with a neck injury, and it ended up working out okay for the Denver Broncos. What do you think, Chicken Fingers, right?
I love it.
Right? I mean, you're not out on neck injuries, are you?
Oh, it's like, no. I have a neck injury.
Right. I mean, what's the big deal? Like, it's just
so this guy's the
injury.
Peyton Manning of the outside linebackers.
Yes, absolutely.
How did I not know?
I mean, you can't take a guy off the board because of a neck injury. Like, he played all of last year.
He did.
It wasn't like if he got hurt last year and has a neck injury, okay, but like you do your homework, MRIs, x-rays, talk to the medical people and watch him play last year. If they sign off on it, I'm okay with it. I'm not passing up Lawrence Taylor here because, you know, he had a neck injury 10 years ago.
But you're willing to pass up Michael Penix Jr., who had a couple of injuries 3 years ago.
A couple times a couple, all right? You feel me?
Yeah.
That would be four season-ending injuries.
This guy had to retire.
It was a premature.
Never retired.
It was a premature retirement. You know, the kids. I mean, like he was probably really scared, and it turned out to be not that big of a deal. Come on, Dover.
Look, if I'm gonna accept a neck injury,
yeah,
it's from one man and one man only.
That's fair. I can understand that. I'm more open and receptive to it. But you just can't say you're out on neck injuries because it ended up working out pretty good for us once upon a time.
Well, I now have some evidence. He has the greatest neck of all necks throughout the history of necks. Peyton has the best neck of all time.
Okay.
I can't put that same trust in this guy.
Yeah, that is true. But I think he deserves a chance, mm-hmm. and that might be here, and I'm okay with it if it is here. I don't want a defensive guy though. I'm tired of watching, you know, football look like it's played in the 1970s.
Yeah, you know what I want is touchdowns.
Yes, please, Lord, goodness.
Wu-Tang has a saying in a song, protect your neck.
Yeah.
It's Peyton, Wu-Tang, Stoke.
Right.
Full circle right here.
There we go.
Right?
Absolutely.
So now you're in on Wu-Tang.
I'm not down on Wu-Tang.
You were down.
I just don't like that intro to our segment. I was just never a big Wu-Tang guy. Never was.
Okay. Well, we're going to try to change that. Let's get some more Wu-Tang and get his mind changed.
Yeah, I'll work on it on my own, off the show. Okay. Off the show.
It's a homework assignment for Stoke. Yeah. I see. All right, there's still a couple names I want to go through with this list that Mike Kliss has, including a name I know Stoke and I really, really like. But why is it so far down on Kliss's list? That's next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Talking about?
Yeah, somewhere in Indiana. Not Seymour.
Oh, he is talking about Seymour. He's talking about Seymour.
Okay. All right.
It's our claim to fame right here. Little John Cougar Mellencamp.
I love it.
My grandfather was his bodyguard.
Oh, yeah?
Early on, yeah. Pretty sweet, right?
Yeah, that's really sweet.
They got a mural of him in our downtown, which consists of two blocks.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. I'll show you when we go coming up here.
Okay.
All
right.
We'll check it all out.
Take a road trip there.
Of course. I know you want to go. All right. We're talking a little bit about the draft. We're talking about where the Broncos are and asking you guys to let us know what you think about the 12th overall pick. And you can do it on the RamosLaw.com text line at 303-713-1043. The next name, and we're down to like option 7 here, and he's given us 9 different options with a few different players in each group. I think this might be, now they need a quarterback for sure, but outside of that, this is my favorite pick. It's Brock Bowers. And I know you like Brock Bowers as well. Now him getting down to 12 is probably the biggest concern and thing that you have to worry about. But man, Stoke, I'm telling you, if Brock Bowers is there at 12 and the quarterbacks, there's a real conversation to be had for me.
Well, yeah, I think it comes down to, do you love those quarterbacks? And if you don't, then you take Bowers, certainly. We could use a dual threat tight end. We could use a tight end that can, you know, catch the football, that can run after the catch, that can stay healthy. That would be nice to have one of those guys. And whoever the quarterback is could certainly use that type of tight end. That would help that quarterback out. So, yeah, I mean, that guy's, look, tight end is at the top of the list of needs for the Denver Broncos. And if you're trying to get this offense up to speed and improve this offense, I don't know if there's a quicker way to do it than drafting a dual threat weapon like Brock Bowers.
Yeah, and it's again, you just hit it out of the park. It's something that is a huge need, and this guy is the best at the position group. It would be a big fit. I know Cecil had talked about the TCU tight end. There's also Dallin Hawker from Colorado State, obviously, that you can get later on in this draft. But, man, I'm right there with you. If he's there, and I'm not in love with Bo Nix, and I'm not in love with Michael Penix Jr., I'm selecting Brock Bowers at 12 overall.
Yeah, and I just think the offense needs so many upgrades and talent, explosive players to help whoever's going to be the quarterback out. Right? If it's just Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham, I mean, goodness, help them out a little bit more, right? And so I think you really got to, for me, this is an offensive-heavy draft. I think that needs to be the emphasis for the Denver Broncos. And so tight end, I've been screaming about tight end forever.
Mm-hmm.
Address, address, address. And it's like they made it it hasn't been a top priority for them. And there have been some swings and misses, certainly, and you know, you look at a guy like Greg Dulcich who shows tremendous potential, but he just can't stay healthy. So you can't rely or count on him. And that would be something, though, if you could get a Bowers and then all of a sudden a Dulcich can stay healthy.
Mm.
Now that gives you so much flexibility offensively to do different things with two tight end, you know, formations and packages. And that would be a nice thing to have if you're Sean Payton. So, yeah, certainly I think offensively, when you look at the skill position guys, there's a lot of needs there.
Yeah. you know what, with the skill of some development and the power of manifestation, is that a word?
Yeah. Yes, it is now.
Lucas Kroll will also be in that conversation.
Well, he runs well. That's what Sean told us. They liked him some Lucas Kroll.
He could jump
high,
too.
You love him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you love him also. So we'll see. I don't care who it is.
Just somebody catch the dang ball from the tight end position. All right, so Kliss then moves on to the cornerbacks, and I think you and I are on the same page here of we don't want a defensive player at 12th overall, even if it is Terrion Arnold, who he thinks is the better cornerback over Toledo's Quinyon Mitchell. Don't draft a cornerback with a 12th overall pick, please.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. Look, if you do, he better be Deion Sanders 2.0.
Other than
that, don't draft a cornerback with a 12th pick. I can't get happy about it. I can't get excited about that. And we already have one really good cornerback, right? Okay, great. They never throw his way hardly. Oh, that's fun. I want to see competent offensive football. And that's kind of where my mind is heading in tomorrow and with that 12th pick.
Last two names on the list from Mike Kliss of 9 News is an offensive tackle out of Georgia. Amarius Mims only started 8 games over 2 seasons at right tackle, but Kliss likes him because he is a big, big man. 6'8", 340 pounds, and is only 21 years old. Kliss writes, you develop. He's a guy that adds depth, but you kind of turn him into hopefully a potential starter down the road. But again, not at 12, right?
Yeah, that's way down the road. 12?
Yeah.
Why is this guy only started how many games?
8 games in 2 seasons.
Why?
He doesn't say anything about injury here.
That's a concern. I'm not trying to develop anybody when I pick him at 12.
Like maybe in the 5th.
Right. I mean, not at 12.
Yeah.
The guys, I'm planning on you starting right away. Okay, we got McGlinchey and Bowles. Okay, all right. Well, you're starting at guard then. I mean, like, I'm planning on you playing football for me this year. You're not a project. And then I need to know why you only started 8 games in 2 years.
I said I'd throw my phone in the lake if they picked a defensive player.
Yeah, you'd cut your hair off if they selected this guy.
I might ghost ride the truck into the reservoir if they picked this guy at 12.
Yeah, don't do that.
No.
Let's just cut your hair off.
Well, do I like my hair or my truck more?
Yeah. You like that truck.
I like that truck a lot. Yeah. Something I wanted for a long time.
Right.
But I also wanted to look like The Undertaker when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, you still don't look like The Undertaker, so there you go. And you never will.
I got the hair, though.
Yeah, but that's it.
I'm more of an X-Pac anyway. All right, and the last name was Spencer Rattler. Now, again, not at 12.
Okay.
And he is saying if the Broncos don't wind up with any of the top 6 quarterbacks, Rattler is the best of the best. And I'm assuming he's hinting at a trade down or not taking your first-round pick being at number 12 overall. But he's calling Spencer the best quarterback of that final tier of quarterbacks.
Okay. All right. So if it doesn't work out with you at 12 and you draft somewhere else or whatever the case may be, that's another option there. Certainly Spencer Rattler. We've talked a lot about him and the possibility of, they grabbing him in the 2nd or 3rd round there. Mm-hmm. So I do believe they're going to walk away with a quarterback in this draft somewhere. And if it's not one of those top-tier guys, I think it will be one of those other-tier guys where you're looking at, at the latest 3rd round that the Broncos draft a quarterback. I don't see them, drafting anybody 5th, 6th, 7th. I think it's before that. And if it's not 1st round, then I think it is 3rd round. Unless they move back and get a 2nd round pick. But I don't see them drafting the quarterback after the 3rd round.
See, I the only way I'd see it, and I don't think this is the play, but I wouldn't be mad at it, is if they pick 2 quarterbacks in this draft.
Yeah. Right.
They got a guy they do like, and then it's like, all right, let's take a flyer on Joe Milton because the guy can throw it 70 yards in the air.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on that. So I think it's good. They will draft one in the first 3 rounds, though. But if it works that way, like they get a quarterback in the 1st round, whatever the case may be, and you take one with a 5th, 6th rounder, I'm A-okay with that also.
Okay. I want to tell you what we're doing for the draft tomorrow night. We'll be at Dave & Buster's over off I-25 in Colorado. We'll figure out what these Broncos are going to do with the 12th overall pick. Going to start at 4 o'clock for the draft party. It's a roundtable discussion hosted by Zach Bye, featuring Mark Schlereth, Brandon Stokely, and Philip Lindsay. Then at 6, when things get going in Detroit, NFL insider James Palmer, Cecil Lammy, and John Davis are going to take you all the way through the draft, including the pick or picks that the Broncos will make. It's Thursday, starting at 4 o'clock, live from Dave & Buster's in Denver. When we get back, let's turn our attention back to the Avalanche, reset the big win, and what it means now. Coming home, all even at 1-1. That's next.